Hello and good afternoon. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today and making us a priority. And hello to everyone who's listening online at kkfi.org. Yep, it's Wednesday. It's noon, and we're in the studio live with artist Christopher Leach, gallery director Michael Schoenhoff, Susanna Brun, and Crystal Hyland, artists. And we're all going to talk to them today here on ArtSpeak Radio, so you know, catch up what's going on with them. And so let me first introduce you to our beloved Christopher Leach. hold on. Let me put There you go. What'd you say now, honey?
You're so sweet to say it that way.
Get out of here. Now, Christopher Leach's practice has embraced being a costume designer, artist, illustrator, poet, graphic designer, and museum director. He earned his Master of Arts in Visual Arts from Goddard College in Vermont and a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the Kansas City Art Institute. His works have been included in solo and group exhibitions across the United States and have been published in Art in America, New Art Examiner, American Craft, and Surface. And so Leach lives here in Merriam, Kansas, and we're happy to have him on board.
And we Leach is very happy to be on board, Vasquez Boyd. I hope you know that.
I love you. You know, we're all really good friends here. And then there's Michael Schoenhoff, who's also another good friend, director of the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery, the Center for Contemporary Practice. And that's located in the Crossroads Art District. And we're so happy to have Michael on. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So we're going to talk first to Christopher, because Christopher has some work at the KCAI Crossroads Gallery, Center for Contemporary Practice, Chance Diaries, Dream Things, that opens January 23rd, runs through March 2nd. And so the opening reception is coming up, and we'll get more information to you about that. But tell us, Christopher, what is Chance Diaries, Dream Things?
Well, Maria, I've been working on the Chance Diaries for two or three decades now, and these are a way for me to work on compositions and with materials that aren't the product of any kind of refined taste, but are really more challenging creative energy and my technical ability. And I started these with graphical works and works that involved a lot of text. And they began very early on to incorporate my dream journals, which I've been keeping for 40 years now. Mm-hmm. Started when I was a teenager. And I really embraced the notion of using dream imagery because, again, it's spontaneous and organic. It's not arrived at based on a set of educational criteria or other idealistic standards. It's a way of working with imagery and with materials in a way that, like I said, is challenging to preconceived notions of ability and taste and beauty. So I've been working on drawings about my dreams for a long time, and I've shown them broadly across the United States, and I'm very proud of myself for doing that. And Michael, when he assumed the role downtown, kept approaching me about, we need to be doing something. And I kept giving him coffee and saying, yeah, sure, we'll do that sometime. And eventually
we had barbecue.
We had barbecue, and that sealed the deal for me. And we confirmed a date on a calendar, but we still didn't know what to do. So I came to Michael with three proposals based on my experience, because I have a curatorial experience and the experience of a local historian and my own art practice. So I proposed these three possibilities, one in each category. And the third one from my own art practice was about showing my own work and doing something I've never done before. And that was really frightening to me. And Michael said, well, then that's what we need to do, because it scares you. It means that you're going to be taking risks, and you'll be trying new things that haven't been shown before. So it'll be good for the gallery, but also good for me as an artist to flex some muscle, or at least try to develop some muscle in some areas where I haven't really had that muscle before.
I love that. And this write-up that I have in front of me, I'm quoting you, I make notes when I wake up, then I type a detailed description, later adding watercolor images and the white allotted white space, using spinners and dice to determine which paragraph you'll illustrate. So it really is a matter of chance.
And it's completely chance oriented. The way that our brains work in dreamtime, we know, is we collect impressions and images, and they're floating around as biochemistry up in our heads. And when we sleep, all of that information gets to float together in the same space. This is a rash simplification from a non-scientist. and the images and the situations and the experiences that emerge from that are based on our experience but aren't the product of our intent necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I'm not much interested in, you know, for myself, dream symbolism and the universalities that may be evidenced there. I like to work in this way because it's a way for me to be mindful and to pay attention, to engage in my own mind with my own fears and insecurities and my own hopes and dreams and whatever else. But the point isn't to explore the deep personal mm-hmm. meaning mm-hmm. of that, mm-hmm. but to challenge oneself and to challenge my own perceived ability to cope with my own experience, if that's a way to put it.
And I think there's a couple of things happening. First, there's a matter of trust, just kind of letting go and liberating your mind to allow it for this to take place. So you just kind of let it out there and then just kind of deal with it afterwards?
I think I need to say from my own experience, I spend a lot of time doing design work and deadline-based work and very intentional kinds of things in my day jobs. And those have specific goals and desired ends, and you have to work very assiduously to get to them, and you share that experience with a lot of people in review and refinement. And I enjoy that, and I'm good at that. This is a way of working which abandons all of that intention and all of that desire to succeed in a specific way, and it allows me, and I hope viewers, to encounter images and media in unexpected, unanticipated, and unintended ways. And often, and I say frequently as in my artist statement, I don't know what things are going to specifically look like when I start out. I may have an idea, but I'm often frustrated when I have a very specific idea. Mm-hmm. And that frustration tells me that I'm achieving my goal of challenging and revisiting conceptions and ideas. One of the works I'm installing for this show, I have been grappling with from the time Michael said, yes, you'll make that work, because this is mostly new work for this exhibit. And I still don't know if I like it very much. Mm-hmm. It is accomplishing what I set out to do, and it may be visually successful. I don't know. And that's important to me as an artist, to encounter those moments. And in that frustration or out of that perceived blockage, arrive at a new path. Because when you abandon all hope, or you abandon no ways of seeing, new ways of seeing and new aspirations can become visible to you.
So along with the drawings, then you're pairing it with intimate narratives. So is it based on sort of what you see in that drawing, or does it come later, or do you have to kind of mull it over? Where does the writing come from?
I like to think of this as my writing and the drawings and now these objects as still life studies. So the writings are very specific and detailed descriptions based on orientation, scale, proportion, color, texture, density of material, etc. And as far as I can apply that to mood or feeling of an image. So those detailed descriptions are made. An image is drawn that is a study of that description. I try to take my own descriptions as instructions for how to craft an image of what it was I experienced or saw in that dream. Right. And the three-dimensional application of that in this exhibit is revisiting drawings and notes that I've made about works that I dreamed I made and actually making them. And that sounds simple enough when you're talking about things I know how to do. But for this exhibit, I had to learn how to use vector images in a CNC router in our makerspace at Johnson County Library because I didn't know how to do that. I had to revisit ceramics, and I haven't made ceramics for 35 years, et cetera. And I have to keep reminding myself, and poor Michael is my, you know, counselor for the neurotic artist in residence, that these are sketches and drawings. I'm not a sculptor. I'm studying these images and how to bring them into three dimensions, I think is what Michael said, trying to talk me off a ledge yesterday. And that in itself is a really liberating perspective to have. I'm not making a finished, beautiful object necessarily. I'm studying this image and how it might be made in order to better understand how my mind works. And ultimately, from my Buddhist perspective, I was reminded in a teaching yesterday, we do that, all of those things, to lose our fear of death and to understand the true nature of mind. I don't know if I'm close to achieving that yet, but this has been a really – this residency and this exhibit have been a great gift from Michael and the Art Institute to allow me to continue that study.
Well, and I do want to ask Michael, who is the director of the Kent City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery. So the Center for Contemporary Practice, it's sort of a new facility in the sense that it serves as an experimental site for exhibitions, courses, creative residencies, right?
Exactly. It's a place for the Art Institute to really grow a little bit, continue what we do, teach, work with our alumni. But I think the experimental nature of it and growing from, you know, we've had visiting artists for decades there, expand that into artist residency is another step of having an artist come and make the work on site. And you know, it was so fortuitous with Christopher. I'm so glad I chose the challenging path because that's how we learn, and we take risks and we experiment. So we're living our purpose, I think, with the space. And at the same time, we're working with students there, which is nice, so they can see this process and learn from this as well. So we're giving back at the same time as we're exploring, which is great. You know, back to Christopher's practice, I mean, he spoke so well there about why this was exciting for me, because it kind of checks all these boxes in a way and really allows everyone to learn and experiment with him. And I just want to say in person, I honor his vulnerability in this. He's done an amazing job, and I'm really excited to see this come together next week, or this week as we finalize the installation. But, you know, to be an artist and do your practice, and then to share your dreams are two levels of vulnerability that I think are really incredible. And Christopher just has this amazing practice that allows one to do that. And I remember one of our early studio visits when, you know, I was talking about the dreams or asking about them. And as he said, he used the word to me as they're phenomenon. You know, it's not like this psychological thing. They are something to be looked at, to live in the present moment, to observe as a still life, as he mentioned. And that was really fascinating to me. And so I'm like, you know, that made me hit the button even more, the green light. So anyway, it's been amazing. And the space has been good to the Art Institute and good for artists, I think, so far.
It's quite lovely, and it's valuable to the community, yes.
It's a super space, as an artist, you can do anything there. It was designed for that purpose, and when the Art Institute inherited this space, to continue that, offering that potential to artists, because I have a small sort of Magritte-sized corner studio at my home, and I couldn't have made this show without this studio space being available and allowing these new ideas to come to fruition. And I am so happy to know that it's under the capable guidance of an accomplished artist who knows how to provide that experience for other artists.
Well, and you've got to have, again, that trust. I mean, you know, he believes in your work, and you've got to have the trust that, you know, you're going to show the work that that you want to in terms of the content. And I mean, there's a lot of trust that's give and take between an artist and a curator.
Indeed.
Gallery director.
Indeed.
And like any good curator, Michael started with the what can we do, not mm-hmm. here's what you can't.
Yeah.
And that was echoed in my introduction to access to the studio. He gave me a key and said, here you go. So
yeah,
I've been
terrific.
Able to
yeah.
go into every room and open every drawer and use every pencil. He doesn't know I touched all of his things in the office.
Things are moved around every few days.
I love
the
that.
Feng shui yeah. needs yeah. to be adjusted. But to have a space that you truly can call your own, it's not like being
yeah.
in a hotel.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in my own studio. I'm that comfortable there. And I think it's allowed things to come into being with a kind of honesty that isn't, I don't want to say it isn't always present, but when you're making a work for a show and you're in a group show and you just got to make this thing that they're expecting
yeah,
to see
yeah.
and you want to send it along uh-huh. and just get it done, I welcome those opportunities and I'm grateful for them. This was an opportunity to do something we weren't sure was going to succeed. And that's incredible vulnerability and risk taking mm-hmm. on part of the institution because
mm-hmm.
We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We still don't because
well,
it's not installed yet.
It's interesting, too. I mean, working with Christopher here has allowed – I mean, this is a pilot for a way of how we move forward because having a residency and an exhibition commitment at the same time is risky because
yeah.
residencies
yeah.
are one thing. You make work, you experiment, mm-hmm. you do things. Exhibitions are other things or can be where they're tidy and you tie them up and you know it's going to succeed. So when we merge this, sometimes we will, sometimes we won't at the gallery. It just provides a unique situation and challenge for all parties involved. So.
But it's good for Michael to choose someone like me to have this test with because I have 35, 40 years experience making things mm-hmm. and building mm-hmm. exhibits and mm-hmm. doing this work. So there was immediately a kind of shorthand between us. We knew how to talk to each other and just move along. There wasn't a lot of educating
exactly.
we had to do about the realities, the administrative realities and the physical realities of gallery practice and studio practice mm-hmm. merging. So I think I was a safe bet technically. Conceptually,
yes.
That's another question.
Well, I think you're a good fit. If you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to artist Christopher Leach, Michael Schoenhoff, who is the director of the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery Center for Contemporary Practice. And I want to mention that Christopher's work, Chance Diaries, Dream Things, will be up January 23rd through March 2nd, and that's going to be at 1819 Grand Boulevard here in Kansas City. That's the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery Center for Contemporary Practice. Also, I want to mention the opening reception is Friday, February 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the gallery, and then there is a public program with the gallery talk by the artists on Saturday, February 10th at 12 noon. So you can sort of pick Christopher's brains.
At your own risk.
At your own risk. And, yeah, a website for the gallery would be, let's see.
kcai.edu.
And for Christopher, your website as an artist?
I encourage you to visit my Facebook page.
Okay.
Because I'm not young and I don't use Instagram.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the images. I know, Christopher, you and I have a long history from the Art Institute back when.
Back in the day.
So I know, right? Before telephones. But
electric lights.
Slides are the
transparent
yeah.
slides and push button phones.
Oh my gosh, those were the days. So
wow.
it's really exciting yeah. for me to see your work through the years, and I love the fact that these are dream things, and it's beautiful to see your work. Watercolor, your writing, it just makes me very happy to see your thoughts. Your images, you know.
I'm really grateful to hear you say that. Our friend, the painter Sherry Lacey, who's
yes.
a longtime friend, paid a studio visit, and we were talking about ideas in the way that we always do. And she sort of looked around the studio, and she's the great non sequitur deliverer. She goes, well, this is just going to be a very vivid show. And I hadn't been thinking of it in those terms, but she noticed, in addition to the soft watercolor textures and the pencil lines of my drawings, there's rich green and brown felt and vivid magenta lurex fringe and these gorgeously engraved maple squares with brilliant watercolor on them. And I began to realize, I think quite naturally, and again without intent, I'm happy to say that I'm bringing the vividness and the rich texture and a little bit of the hyper-reality, the surreality of the dream experience into the walking experience in the gallery.
Beautiful.
I'm really excited about the opportunity to see it all installed. Because that's where Michael's artistry as the curator will attempt to prevail over the artist.
We'll get
and
it.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's been a bold transition or movement to the material object base for Christopher. Mm-hmm, really, really great. It's going to be an amazing exhibition. And two other things, if I could say.
Sure.
I think there's a sense of, you know, the universal that translates is this there's this wonderment, I think, that comes across. And when I talked to Christopher about some of the pieces, one he's working on, it didn't make him laugh yet. So there's this real delight that comes across, I think, in his practice and what he's sharing with the viewer. And so, I think people will find that pretty amazing.
Well, we love you, Christopher Leach. We love you, Michael Shonoff.
Well, we love you, Maria.
We love you.
Chance Diaries, Dream Things by Christopher Leach, January 23rd through March 2nd. Opening reception is the first Friday, February 2nd, from 6 to 8 at the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery, Center for Contemporary Practice at 1819 Grand Boulevard. Thank you so much for coming in today. You're welcome back, both of you, anytime, together, alone, separate, whatever.
Thank you for having us on the show. Come see us at the gallery. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez Boy. This is ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you made us a part of your day. And hope to say hello to folks who are listening online at kkfi.org. Next up, we have the beautiful and talented Crystal Hyland, who is a fine artist, a clothing designer, curator, writer, entrepreneur, and mother. Her studio practice focuses on elevating natural material. Currently in her new studio, she's finished her largest permanent installation in the gorgeous Equitable Building in downtown Des Moines, Iowa. Crystal is the co-owner and co-curator of Veritable Art, LLC, along with her beautiful and absurdly talented partner Lori Ray Erickson. Veritable Art is a new gallery concept going on a year old now, and currently showing is artist Emily Saul, who has produced a next level body of work. And so we welcome Crystal Hyland to the show. Hello, my friend.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Lots to talk about. Lots going on since I last saw you here in the studio.
It's been a little busy.
So let's talk about your permanent installation at the Equitable Building in downtown Des Moines. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. It's being they're beginning installation as we speak. So
great.
It's pretty exciting.
And Lori is down there kind of taking command of all that for you.
Joe Gregory, who you also know and is also a wickedly talented painter. They've generously hit the road and are hanging 16 pieces.
Good for you.
Which are works on fiber, on silk, which I did a show downtown at the Power and Light Building before they started their renovation when BNIM had their 10 at BNIM program where you showed in their windows.
Right, gosh.
So this work that they chose was from that show.
Wow.
And it's a similar building from a similar era, and it's gorgeous, so it's an honor.
And for our listeners who are tuned in and want to find out more about your work and possibly see some of the work that you're talking about,
sure.
Could you share your website with them?
Yeah, it's just myname.com, Crystal Hyland, spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L, Hyland, H-I-G-H-L-A-N-D.com.
Because your work is quite varied because, as I mentioned at the introduction, you're a fine artist, clothing designer, a writer, curator, so there's a lot about Crystal Crystal that you can find out through her website. And let's talk about the Veritable Art. So it's a new gallery.
Yeah, in our loft, I've moved my practice out of our loft, which is above the Lidi Volkos Art Center in the Crossroads. And I've been there for 8 years now, and we decided to just put the space to good use on First Fridays. There's thousands of people that were literally walking our house on Fridays. So we decided to just make good use of it and invite our friends, some of whom we feel are underrepresented on the scene, some of whom, like Emily, is extremely active and well represented on the scene, but we just are huge fans of her work. So we have shows that we rotate every 2 months, and we are picking and choosing our favorite pieces from each show and consigning those and getting ready for our first photo shoot for our website.
Wow, that's terrific.
Super exciting.
And I want to mention that currently Emily's work is at Veritable Art.
Yes.
And then there's also a talented photographer collaborator, Lauren Schrader, right?
Right. Lauren has been working with us for the last 6-ish months and is helping us develop our website and doing all the photography. She's working on Lori's website as well. I know her from UMKC, and she does a lot of work in film, but is a talented artist in her own right as well.
Mm-hmm. So will the work be available to, will be on view for First Friday coming up next month?
In February, yes.
Yeah, so that would be February 2nd?
2nd. We will be open, and we're open from 6 to 9, and you can enter through the Lidi. There is a courtyard you can enter through, or there's, I can't remember the name of the church, but there's another entrance as well, and we're on the third floor, and you can't miss us once you get up to the third floor.
And if you just tuned into ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to the fine artist, clothing designer, curator, writer, entrepreneur, and mother, Crystal Hyland. Yeah, there's a lot that we all, so many hats that we all wear, right?
That's kind of ridiculous when I hear you say it, though. It's all true.
It's all true.
Awkward,
I know. Well, and to be honest with you, Crystal, there's probably a lot more that's missing in that description, because you do a lot of different things.
And,
a curator and all that. So Emily's work and Emily's
now.
Work is. What is it? Is it large-scale photography, or are we looking at...
Emily is a painter.
Okay.
She is an extremely patient and talented painter who loves color and process. We're both Virgos, and it's very interesting to see our work next to each other, because her work looks like a Virgo's work. It's very organized and precise. Mm-hmm. It has an architectural quality to it. There is an honoring of time and precision, I would say. Mm-hmm. She does large scale murals as well, but what we have showing are paintings on wood, and if she works many different paintings at one time, and she'll go back in and sand, and I love that her work looks as though it's taken a long time to appear. There's just incredible depth when you look at them, and
so,
energy.
So the new the gallery that this is in, Veritable Art.
Yes.
Is it a fairly large gallery? Because I know some of the spaces there range in size and all that. So I wanted to ask how many pieces of her work is on view.
I think maybe 12 or 15. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We renovated.
That's a pretty good size.
And dedicated a section to rotating shows. And then, of course, there's work from Lori, that's always on display. We show and represent Douglas Schwiedert's work, who's no longer with us. My work finds its way onto the walls, mostly in the hallway on your way in. There's a nice variety on display, and we can always show people works on paper that we have from previous shows.
So for the most part, you're open during First Fridays, the weekend,
Friday,
right?
But the longer-term initiative is to bring Kansas City art outside of Kansas City through the website.
And if folks somehow want to see the work but they missed First Friday, can they contact you for a screening of the work?
Absolutely. Yeah, the website's under construction, but we have... I'm on Instagram with Veritable Art KC, and then we also have a Facebook page where we can be reached.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and aside from Emily's work, whose work is currently up, what are some other artists we'll see this year, or do you sort of have your calendar sort of work in progress?
Well, Lori is about to begin a very exciting group of works that will be on display in the spring, and we do have our calendar pretty well set. So I'm just drawing a blank, and I didn't bring notes on all of my people.
But you know, we're happy to see Lori Ray Erickson's work, because she's been very prolific here in the Kansas City area. You would know her work just at a glance.
Yes.
So we're very happy that, you know, we're going to have another opportunity to see her work. And shout out to Lori Ray. Hello,
and
Lori.
This work is that she will be showing, I have a feeling, will be very, very popular. And she has works on display right now that were from her very political show that was at the Leedy. So if you're interested in that sort of content, she has some great things on display. Our next artist is Christopher Sims, who is an Art Institute graduate, and he has some gorgeous figurative work as well as abstract works.
Very good. I'm talking to Crystal Hyland, who's an artist, curator, and so much more. We're talking about Veritable Art, and it's a new gallery concept that's been going on for a year now, right?
Yes.
Terrific. You know, we love that it's not just the bigger galleries that are here in Kansas City that you can acquaint yourself with and visit and see work. I know that there's a lot of smaller galleries, and especially I actually went to a talk this weekend about folks starting a gallery in their studio spaces, and that's been kind of popular too, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of how I started when I first arrived. I was representing other fiber artists at different galleries owned by other people, and then I thought, well, I'll just do my own gallery concept in my little studio. And I haven't stopped curating since then. I think that it's important to acknowledge that we're part of a larger organism and support each other and, you know, feed off of the energy that all that brings to the table when you come together.
I really like that, Crystal. I really do.
Thank you.
So we'll look forward to your first Friday of February 2nd at Veritable Art, and that's at the Crossroads, about what, 17th, 18th?
Well, if you come First Friday, go check out the show at the Leedy Volkos, and then you can wander upstairs from there. They always have wonderful, wonderful exhibitions. I'm not sure who's on display right now. Maybe Robert Quackenbush, who I'm a fan of.
Yeah, he is, yes.
I've shown his work in the past. He's extremely talented.
I agree.
It's a great show, too.
It really is. Thank you so much, Crystal Hyland.
Thank you, Maria, for everything.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you.
You bet. You come back anytime.
I will. Thanks.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. or not. Just press the button. And so anyway, we're going to go on with our next guest, and this is going to be Susanna Brune. She is a Gilded founder and executive director, as well as a visual artist, poet, and owner of Fluid UI Web Design. She has worked for the Kansas City Art Institute, Hallmark, Sprint, and a number of other organizations as an employee and consultant. Susanna has a master's in education and a BFA in art from the Iowa State University. She has also founded a local design group, held board positions, and curated art shows. But she's here. We're going to talk about Gilded. And, yeah, so welcome, my friend. Hello, Susanna.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. You bet. So Gilded is, how many years have...
Gilded is going into its third year, and wow, we are now, as of this month, officially a nonprofit. So we're very excited.
Oh, terrific.
Excited.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah, and for folks who are not familiar with Gilded, what is the premise? What happens at Gilded? What is it about?
We are a public forum, so we have artists come and talk about their business, and they talk about it in 6 to 8 minutes, and that's enough of a clincher to brainstorm about bettering their business practices, whether helping them brainstorm on challenges and needs or meeting their goals.
Yeah, and so a number of people from art from Kansas City have presented in the three years have taken place, and most of these are most of these meetings or these forums are at the Kemper Museum of Art, right?
Correct.
But you have also other places that you feature folks at.
Yeah, we've been at an urban art house. We've been down at Central Library and bringing in as much as 200 people. We'll be at Juco Library in April, and we look forward to even being in more venues.
Terrific. And also, I want to mention that you've just launched Gilded Bit. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a newsletter. So we take little bits of stories from like Artists Inc. and from Startland News and highlight them as to workshops or call for artists. For example, Open Spaces is coming up. The deadline for the City Festival is the end of this month. Then as we also have in there this month that in February, mid-February, Art in the Loop applications are due, and just announced yesterday was Charlotte Street has their applications due in February as well.
Yeah, you know, I was very fortunate to be a part of some of the speakers series, and I mentioned that only because through that presentation and the question and answers afterwards, I met Ebony Johnson,
yes,
who is with Gilded, and now she's here with KKFI. So she's an engineer, sometimes co-hosts, produce shows here on KKFI. So you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, the public forums are spontaneous. You can never predict what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They bring multiple people together of multiple backgrounds. Networking is a big thing that happens at our forums, and we certainly encourage and foster that.
You know, and for folks who want more information about Gilded and really find out the history, board members, sort of past presentations, presenters, what is the website?
It's gilded.org, and then we have a link to our YouTube videos of past events and featuring our presenters.
This is terrific. What gave you that idea? I know this is kind of working backwards, but because you are the founder and executive director, what made you think, gosh, we need this here in Kansas City?
Well, our forums are based on 1 million cup forums, so I was kind of a 1 million cups addict, and then that's a weekly event that happens at the Kauffman Foundation. So, and I can remember meeting Jeff Becker there, who had started the Arts Incubator, which I was a part of. And that whole, you know, seeing Jeff there, and it just all clicked and said, you know, we should really do this for artists. So I had the opportunity a few years ago to start this, and I took it, and I've been really excited. It's exposed me to a lot of things and to a lot of wonderful people. And, yeah, when we host Maria, it was, I loved her presentation, because she's one of those artists who follows her delights, and it really came across in her presentation.
You're very kind. My daughter says, Mom, you're the flag and Dad's the flagpole. And I just kind of like, yeah, that's it. But, you know, I love the fact that it gives people the opportunity, presenters the opportunity to share who they are with the community and for the community to talk back in terms of, you know, the question and answer. I think it's a little bit more in depth about who this person is and what they do, what they offer, and what you can bring in return. Some of the leaders, some of the Gilditz people are, well, give us a list of who's on Gilditz on the board and so on.
Well, on the board, we currently have a number of community leaders, including Mike Williamson from Poston LA Law Firm. We have John McGraw, who is from Buttonwood Financial. He's also the founder of Jazz Alive, and he actually is just opening up a nonprofit center this week at, it's called 31 West 31, because it's on 31st Street. We're going to be a part of that village as well. And, and we have several other exciting board members that, and our past presenters have included, with Maria, Jose Foss presented. We've had Glenn North. We cover all the arts. We have filmmaker Bruce Brannett came and presented. We've had Heidi Van, Peregrine Hong. We are a place for mid-career and senior artists to come and expand their business ideas.
I love that. And on the fourth Thursday, the forums are held, right?
Right.
So artists present their business, their speech, as you were, if you could say that, for 6 minutes, followed by 20 minutes of brainstorming on their challenges, goals, and needs. So the forums are on the fourth Thursday from noon to one, mm-hmm. and that's at the beautiful Kemper Museum. But on, however, I want to mention that on 4/12 of this year, from 6 to 8, they're going to be at the Johnson County Central Library. Is that right?
Yes. We'll be at the library with a panel discussion. And Heidi Van will be there, as well as Miguel Rivera. And let me make sure I get the correct list. Maura Garcia and Stan Kessler. So they'll be talking about their art and the process of the art and in relation to it's called Time After Time because mm-hmm. the library has a theme of time that year. Mm-hmm. And then next week, we have filmmakers Jerry Rapp and Patrick Gray talking at the Kemper.
Now, for folks who are interested in attending, do you need to reserve a seat? How do they do that?
Nope, we are free. It'd be great if they do mark their attendance or their interest at on our Facebook page, because that's what we do to gauge the attendance, to mm-hmm. let mm-hmm. the Kemper know how many seats to put out. It's spontaneous. So we invite everyone to come, and that's part of the spontaneous it.
I love that. Susanna Braun is Gilditz's founder and executive director. Gilditz.org is the website. And there's so much information, again, reading about the history, the board members, how often these forums take place and past sessions. YouTube, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the electronic newsletter, is that something that's a part of the website or that you sign up or email?
Yeah, we have an email distribution. It's posted on the website, but we also have an email distribution of it. And then we also include announcements of our upcoming events, as well as what's happening that entrepreneurs may want to take part of throughout Kansas City.
You know, and it's will you also have a listing of upcoming forums mm-hmm. so that people can kind of plan accordingly? Like I said, this one on April 12th of this year from 6 to 8 will be at the Johnson County Central Library. Is that just a one-time shot, or is that something that's going to occur every so often?
JUCO Library is very good about building relationships with other nonprofits. So this is our first time with them, and we hope to have a successful event to be part of their network of mm-hmm. nonprofits that they support. They're a wonderful organization, and you know, Christopher Leach is working with them
we
right now.
We love our Christopher,
and,
yeah.
Their head of special events, Joseph, he's just amazing as far as his calendar is built way out. So,
wow. Wow.
And he's already promoting the event.
And it's amazing that this has only been around for, well, this is the third year.
Yes.
It's really become quite successful, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think we fulfilled a unique niche, and we're looking to expand our programming, including we have a speed networking event that we're hosting with Arts KC in in February. And so please look forward to announcements coming out on that if you want to take part in speed networking and meet other artists and possible that could lead to collaboration, as well as just building the orgasm.
The
organism that Crystal mentioned.
Count me in. I get it. But, you know, I have to ask you, Susanna, being the founder and executive director, on these forums, each of the presenter will talk, and then there's 20 minutes of brainstorming on, again, goals, needs, and challenges. Do you have any challenges, goals, and needs that you want to mention that for Gilded? I mean, certainly there's got to be some goals. And what is it that you need from the community?
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah, we've helped artists increase their revenue, get blogging spots, getting grants, getting into new markets. And one thing that's Gilded is in need of right now is fundraising. Nonprofit is new to me, and education is not, or I should say programming is not, because I have a background in education. So so we've really worked, we're going to be working with fundraising in 2018 that include anything from a small dinner party to these earned revenue events like speed networking, a partnership with the JUCO Library could eventually be a strong revenue stream for us as well.
Terrific. Is there, gilded.org is the website, and the next forum will be?
Next Thursday from 12 to 1 at the Kemper with the filmmakers Jerry Rapp and Patrick Ray. Both have worked with well-known names like HBO, Redbox, Universal, and and CBS. So we're very excited to have them.
Well, and I know I've met Jerry through Cinema KC, and he's, I think, pretty active with them still, right?
Yes.
So this would give folks an opportunity to listen to what they do, where they are, their needs, goals, and all of that. It's sort of, how often do you get to meet a local filmmaker?
Yes.
You know? And sort of pick their brain about that. So, Susanna, is there anything that we left out that I should mention to our listeners?
Open spaces. So that's a new thing that we're working on. We're working with Hector Casanova, Robin Van Hooser, below aerial artists in proposing projects for open spaces. So we're very excited about that opportunity in the first city biannual festival.
And I want to say open spaces, I believe their deadline is the end of this month, which is what, only 2 weeks or so?
Yes.
Yeah, openspaces.org. possibly.com. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I know the Office of Culture and Creative Services has that information.
Yes.
They had Dan Cameron on a week ago or so, and so we talked in length about that. Mm-hmm. So good. That sounds great. Very good. Susanna Bruhn is Gilded's founder and executive director, and so we look forward to seeing you the next forum, and that's going to be at the Kemper?
At the Kemper.
Yeah, the Kemper of Contemporary Art, right there on Warwick, across the street from the Art Institute. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today, Susanna.
Well, and thank you for what you do, Maria. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. It's a great gig. You know, someone asked me, I saw it at a poetry reading, and he says that to me. Well, he didn't ask me, but he says, "You really like what you're doing, don't you?" And I said, yeah, because this is a great creative community I'm happy to serve. So thanks, Susanna. And I also want to thank Christopher Leach, Susanna Bruhn, Michael Schoenhoff, Crystal Hyland. Next week, gosh, we're almost through January. Next week, January 24th, I'll have Anne Gottschett at from the Writer's Place, the director of the Writer's Place. Rihanna Ross will be here. Also, I'll have an artist who's going to show his work at Union Station, Nathan Sawaya. They'll all be here in the studio next week. Stay tuned for Jazz in the Afternoon. I am filling in for Jeff Harshbarger. He's away, but I've got some good stuff lined up for you. And I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Please like us on Facebook. Give us a like. You can download the podcasts each Friday from our website, kkfi.org, and through iTunes. You can subscribe to both. So thank you so much, so very much for tuning in. Honey, I'm coming home.